Hello and welcome to the Round Table Podcast. It's so great to have you. You know, this is really our first time doing this in 2021, and we've decided that we're going to now have a Round Table Podcast once a month on the first Sunday of every month. So this year we have got planned lots of guests coming through, lots of great conversations. So encourage you, subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe to our Round Table Podcast, where you'll find on any podcast platform. But today I have the honor of having PJ Booth, who is also my dad.
Good to be here.
And led Open Arms Church in Newbridge County Kildare for 20 years and is continuing as a pastor in Open Arms. So it's great to have you.
Yeah, good to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Sean.
You're welcome. So today we're going to have a fun conversation.
We are.
We're going to have a conversation around COVID and the vaccine. Now, I really want to stress, today we are speaking as pastors, okay? So today we felt we want to give spiritual and practical guidance and wisdom. And, you know, in conversation between ourselves and our staff, we really felt the importance to address this subject, and because it can be so easy to be overcome with fear of saying the wrong thing, or because it can be, you know, tricky waters at times, and especially when it comes to these subjects. But we as pastors and leaders are responsible for our large congregation, over 1,200 people in two locations. And from our time speaking to the people, everyone is worried, anxious, and asking the same questions. So we sat down, we wanted to write down the questions, a number of questions that we're going to today do the best that we can to shed some light on them, to share our wisdom, everything COVID related and vaccine related. So are you ready?
Get ready.
So firstly, beginning with COVID-19, it really hit the shores of Ireland in you know, the beginning of March, and we began to hear all about it, began to see all the scenes on TV and the news, what was happening right across the world. And now it's been almost 10 months. Yeah. So for you personally, you're 62. You are technically in the at-risk category. And you took precautions. Yeah. So how did you approach it, and what was your attitude during the time?
Okay. Well, first of all, we were shocked by it. I mean, you never think in your lifetime you're going to come across a global pandemic. It seemed unreal. But then you begin to listen to the medics, and you begin to listen to whatever else. And I suppose the very first thing is, I am responsible for myself, my family, but also within my community. So when they say come along and sanitize, so we had bottles of sanitizer all over the place. So keep those hands washed, keep those hands
clean. And toilet paper.
Yeah, all the way through. And keeping your distance, your social distance. I just think a lot of it was just common sense. It really was. Whether I thought it was unnecessary or over the top, I really didn't. Because when you see what was coming out of China at that time, you see how it was affecting the world. I just wanted to make sure that we were as safe as possible. So I am a law-abiding citizen, I think, you know, within reason. when people say to do something that's going to help you and people, or I tried to do that, and I really did.
Okay. Mm. And so for you personally, what did you find was the most difficult thing, especially in the early beginning, but even right throughout? What was the most difficult thing?
Well, for myself and Elizabeth, we were good because we were in our home. We were fine. We had a garden and painting, all the stuff to do. But as a pastor, I found it really, really difficult not coming to church. I found it really difficult not interacting with people, not being able to give people a hug, not being able to meet closely in fellowship. And that's what hit me immediately. I missed people. Mm. I really did.
Okay. Mm. Okay. And I imagine there are so many people who feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so what we want to do during this conversation is to touch on particular points and issues. And the second thing that I kind of noted was masks and social distancing. We had really I'd never worn a mask.
Right.
And never even heard about social distancing before, especially 2 meters. But what's your perspective? Because there are so many differing opinions, you know, for everyone who tells you to do this, there's another one who tells you to do the opposite. Is it necessary? What do you think about it?
Okay, so first of all, I'm not a medic. right? I'm a pastor. I was a fitter by trade, right? So that's not my background. So what I try to do is listen to the experts. And when I listen to the experts, I listen to what is my doctor saying? What are the professors of medicine saying? What's the HSE saying? What's the World Health Organization saying? What are the experts saying who spend a lot of time studying this? And also other viruses throughout the world since, you know, we became aware in the late 1700s. So I listen to them. I don't listen to Uncle Joe, Auntie Mary, you know, or someone who's had a dream last night. They're not the experts in my family. Mm. When you were born, we went to see a doctor, and 33 years later, he's still my doctor. Well, guess who I'm going to ask?
Yeah,
I'm going to ask the doctor. So I've been following the thing of masks from the very beginning, because I used to listen to people say, well, there wasn't enough scientific evidence. But once there was enough scientific evidence, it made really sense. And I wear a mask, not for PJ.
Yeah.
I wear a mask to protect you. I wear a mask to protect other people I'm walking around. And as a pastor and as a Christian, I have a moral responsibility to protect other people. So I wear a mask. I stay 2 meters apart. I wash my hands. And I try and abide by all the rules, guidelines to keep people safe.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. And I think the thing for me is, and that's such a good point you make there about our GP, you know, all of us, this country was built around community.
Yeah.
And in every community, we have our general practitioner who we go to for wisdom and advice. We often only spend 5-10 minutes with them, bring our ailments, they give us a diagnosis, they give us a direction. Yeah. We trust them with so many things.
Yes.
You know, for me, when I think about when we had Levi, he was just born, never had a baby before. I never even changed a nappy before. And you're looking for guidance, you're looking for advice, but you do the best that you can do. And I think you're right in that, in just doing the best that we can do. So, lockdown, the negative word of 2020.
Yeah.
So much frustration, especially here in Ireland, lockdown number two that happened. Mixed messaging, massive increase in mental health. Yeah. Mental health problems, domestic and physical abuse, lots of loss of jobs and income. And there's really been two modes of thinking in this. Firstly is compliance and trust.
Yes.
And the second thing is anger and frustration. Yeah. And probably the majority of us, you know, feel somewhere in between there.
Yeah, yeah.
But my question really is, how do we cope with all these feelings, both negative and worry? How do we cope with it?
And again, this is something I struggle with as much as everybody else. I mean, for goodness sake, I don't want lockdown. I don't want church lockdown. I don't want the shops and the restaurants lockdown. I don't want that. But we're coming at from a pastoral perspective. We're also coming from a pastoral biblical perspective. So let me just read. And this is from the Bible, the living active word of God. It's from the book of Romans and chapter 13. Now, we say we believe the word of God. And people, I've had people send me Psalms, send me things for COVID. So let me add this to COVID as well. So it says, submission to the authorities. And this is Paul writing to the Romans. It's the epistle, it's the word of God. It says, everybody must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against God and what God has instituted. And those who do well bring judgment on themselves. Those who do will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. And then he adds this bit in that challenges me even. It says, this is also why you pay taxes. Not a lovely taxman, right? For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what they owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So my attitude has to be, okay, God knows what's happening. God is in control. Whether we vote for this government or not, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
As Bible-believing Christians, we have to come under their authority. Now, are they going to get things wrong? Of course, everybody is going to get things wrong. We haven't dealt with COVID-19 as a global pandemic ever. So have they made some bad decisions? Yeah, of course they have. Mm. Have they made some great decisions? Yes, they have. Mm. So my thing has to be, I'm going to trust God that he has in place for this time in history who he has. Mm. So I'm going to try and have a good attitude towards authority. Here's one thing I'm very thankful that I'm not making those decisions.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I'm not the Taoiseach. I'm so glad I'm not the Taoiseach or the Minister for Health. I'm so glad I did not have to make a decision to either open up the country or... So it's the attitude of saying, yeah, maybe they have a little bit more information than I have. Maybe they have hard decisions. Have they got stuff right? Yeah, I think they have. I really do. Have they got stuff wrong? I think they have as well.
Yeah.
But on balance, I'm going to try and walk under the authority of the existing government.
Mm, that's good. And I think, you know, it's harder said than done, especially, you know, again, as pastors, leaders, when it comes to church and the closing down of church, especially when you look around the world and see that we are one of the only countries in the entire world with the strictest lockdown rules, and dealing with that disappointment, that frustration and anger. And I think the key is you've got to deal with it.
You've got to deal with it.
And and for me, I just keep continuing to tell myself, it isn't always going to be like this.
No.
It's going to be okay. And we have experienced new ways and doing new things. And, you know, how do we rather connect with people on a new way? So I do think it is, I 100% agree with you. Acknowledge authority, respect it, honor it. But at the same time, to deal with all the frustration and anger. And then look at, okay, now what can I do? And so I think... for our people who we've been talking to, been in a relationship with, too, the biggest struggle has been the thought of uncertainty and the unknown and the feeling of being out of control. And that's what lockdown and that's what social distancing, everything has been, is this feeling of I'm out of control. I'm not in charge. But yet we are in charge of our thinking, our speaking, our believing, our trusting. So how do we take better control of those things in our life?
So I would say the very first lockdown for me, I found it much easier. I'll have to say it was a bit of a novelty. We were catching up our jobs. We were getting the recording studio up. So I was, we were busy. We'd been working our tail off. So I was busy and looking around the world, keeping an eye. You know, it was that novelty. But I want to tell you, that novelty wore off on the second week of the second lockdown. That wore off really, really quickly. I was frustrated. I had a sense of sadness. I really missed people. I missed church desperately. I missed worship. Corporate worship was probably the biggest. I missed it desperately and frustrated. And then I'd hear another professor and I'd say, so at first, acknowledging that, I am angry. I am sad. I'm fed up with this thing. And then coming along in place and saying, okay, Lord, I'm not in control. So it brought me back to the place and it said, God, I trust you with my family. I trust you with my present. I trust you with my future. Well, now I got a great opportunity to surrender again. I said, God, okay, I am frustrated. I am annoyed. I am sad. I'm all of that thing. But okay, this is an opportunity I'm going to trust that somewhere or another, you got this. Somewhere or another, you said you'd build your church. Somewhere or another, you said you'd keep me and you'd sustain me and my family. Somewhere or another, you said that you'd hold me. You know, all of that. And it's back to that place for me of difficult surrender. Not easy surrender. And that's why I'm not being flippant about this. This is so hard. This is so difficult. But to get to that place, to surrender with tears, surrender with clenched teeth, surrender with bit lip, but to surrender and say, God, okay, I'm going to trust that yet somehow you're going to bring God out of this. I'm going to trust that you're going to keep me and keep my family and keep our church and keep our community. I surrender again. I'm going to keep surrendering. I'm going to try and keep my attitude good. I'm going to try and keep worshipping at home. I'm going to try and keep, you know, the ear pods in and keep worshipping on my own, keep listening to the Word of God, keep reading the Word of God. But it's difficult. And I'm doing this for 29, 30 years. It is difficult. But I think we have to keep coming back and say, okay, God, I'm giving you full opportunity of being in charge and being in control because I'm not in control.
It's the other thing. It's easier said than done.
Oh, very much.
But it needs to be done.
It needs to be done.
So let's talk about the big enchilada. The thing that... is the hot topic that everyone is talking about at the moment, the vaccine. So let me throw a scenario at you that I think is going to be a very popular one and that a lot of people are going to be facing in these next few months. So the vaccine is available. It's been rolled out, firstly, you know, frontline workers, the vulnerable. But then I get a call from my boss and they say, if I want to continue working in this organization or this setting, I have to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious. I'm fearful. I don't really understand what's in it, what it's going to do, what the long-term effects are going to be. What do I do?
What do you do? Okay, so obviously I've been thinking about this question a lot. And I've, this is not my first time asking this question. I asked this question many years ago, not about COVID, but about a vaccine. So several years ago, I wanted to go on missions trip, right? And we were going to Zambia.
Yeah.
And so in order for me to go to Zambia, I had to have vaccination. I had to have multiple injections, both arms sore for weeks on end. I had to take drinks and drops and all kinds of things. And I'll just tell you what some of the things. Here's my, this is called the little book, the little yellow book. So if you're going to travel, especially into Africa, you know, or the Outer Hebrides, right? You need these things. And before you're allowed into the country, you have to prove that you have this. It's almost like a vaccine passport. Right. So some of the things I got vaccinated for, right, was hepatitis A, hepatitis B, rabies, cholera, tetanus, diphtheria, polio. So I was faced and saying, right, if I want to go on the trip, this is what I have to put into my body. These are the vaccinations I have to put. And so I have been faced with a lot of that. Now, not for COVID-19, that's another one to face, but I've been faced with these ones. And I had to make a decision that if I want to go on a missions trip to Zambia, I need to have these.
Yeah.
So I didn't investigate too much. I looked up and they've been given out for years. Are there side effects? Yeah, there are side effects. Some people have died from them. So this is a very serious thing. Are there complications? Again, yes, there are. There are complications. Like the MMR that you would have got. You know, what is it? Measles, mumps, and
rubella.
And rubella. Out of the investigation done recently was that out of 25 million children who had it, 30 children had a very serious consequence because of it. So there are consequences. Yeah, yeah. But for me, back to the exact question. So if I come along and say, I want to go to Zambia, you have to take this or you don't go to Zambia. I wanted to go to Zambia. I took the vaccine. Mm. Now, the first time I took it was 2015, 5 years ago. I'm still alive and well, right? No side effects. So thank God it worked.
Yeah.
But it was a decision I had to come to.
Yeah,
it was a decision I had to investigate and I had to weigh up and I had to make that decision. And that's, I think everyone has to do that.
Yeah. And it's to go back to our earlier point is we all have a GP.
Yeah.
We all have people in our lives. Like I'm 33, you're 62. Yeah. I didn't get here without advice.
Yeah.
I didn't get here without turning to doctors I trust, to people I trust. Yeah. And I think it's going back. We'll go back to those people, ask those questions. And it's a very valid question. And I know the fear is, you know, it happened so fast, it came out of nowhere. Yeah. And yet there's a lot of complications to it. And, and I've got to make that decision for myself personally. I'm still not in either side.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm further on than where I was.
Right.
And this conversation is not about pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine.
No.
But I do think you're so right is that immunization has been a part of our lives from day one.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're still here.
Yeah.
And I think it's to look, that's for me, I always look back, where has God brought me from? Where is he bringing me to?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's the same perspective. And so I want to throw some questions because in particular on this issue of the vaccine, right? Because I'm aware our people, our church, our congregation, our communities are asking these questions and getting answers that I don't think is right or true. And so just for us to ask them. So firstly, what does the Bible say about this, if anything?
Right. So my reading of the Bible says nothing about COVID-19. I can't find it in there. I can't find it in there about vaccination. Well, tell you what it does say. It says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It says we're the apple of his eye. It says that he knows the hair on our head. That above all else, we value life.
Mm.
We value life, whether that's the unborn baby or especially when the baby is born. We value life and we uphold life. So anything we can do to keep people healthy and well-being and living life to the full, I think we have to promote that.
Yeah.
We have to. So the Bible is very clear on that. So God is for us, you know, and the Bible says about what? But about the vaccine itself, do we come along and say that from certainly the 1700s, 1800s, all along, there was many people dying from different things, and vaccinations has helped. Now, we don't know about this one, right? It's still an unknown. It's still unclear. Hasn't it, you know? So we have to find out and investigate. So for me, for what I'm going to do is, I know what God's word says. I know people of great value. And so the questions I'm going to be asking, will this add value to our lives? Will this protect people? Will this keep my grandchildren safe in years to come? Will this keep me alive in order that I will be able to spend more time with my grandchildren? Is it safe? What are the medics saying? So I have to keep looking and investigating that. But can I give you a verse where it says COVID-19? It does not exist.
No. But it does talk about wisdom, discernment,
wisdom,
trust, not be afraid.
And I think in that wisdom is very important, because we come along and say, understanding and knowledge. Well, knowledge, Google gives you all the information you want. We want a little bit more. Uncle Johnny can give you information, but we need a bit more. Auntie Mary can give you, or someone can give you a dream or a nightmare, right? Or a prophecy. But we have to come along. What is the scientific evidence? What are the experts saying? What is our government? What's my GP saying? We have to come along and take all of that information and turn it into wisdom and make wise decisions and wise choices for me and for our families. Yeah.
So here's another question. Is this a part of the end times? Is this the end?
Is this the end? Well, I'm 62. What I can say is I'm much closer to the end than you. I could get run down by a bus tomorrow, right? We don't know that. We know that until the full number of the Gentiles come in, the end will not come. But we're certainly closer. Is everything ramping up eventually for the end times? It probably is. It probably is.
Yeah.
But I'm 62, Christian for 30 years. You know something? I don't spend that much time thinking about the end times. I think a lot of time thinking about my neighbor, my friends, people who are listening to this podcast, people who are searching for truth and searching for some level of spirituality. I'm looking at how can I tell people that Jesus loved you, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and that even through these times of great trial and stress is that we can know the peace of God. So I spend more of my time thinking about those things than I do the end times.
Yeah, and I would say be very wary of pastors and leaders and teachers giving their opinions on revelations in the end times, because is it a cacophony of different dichotomies? Like this, one person says this, another person says this. I think it's focus on Jesus. Jesus is at the center. Yeah. He loves me. He's for me. Yeah. And I'm going to live my life every day to share that with others, because for each of us, there is an end coming.
There is an end coming.
And I think it's to focus on those things. So, final question. There's so many other voices. There's so many conspiracy theories. How do we listen to the right voices?
So here's the thing. I'm listening to conspiracy theories. I like listening to some, but I do not take any heed whatsoever on it. I think a lot of it is utter, utter nonsense. But are there things that would disturb my mind? I don't listen to them. The word of God says to hold every thought captive. That's so important. So be careful about the thoughts you put in there. And again, we keep repeating ourselves, because it's worth repeating. Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? So first of all, you got to have, what is the word of God saying, right? About God loving me and holding me and having a plan and a purpose in my life. So somehow or another, I'm in good hands. What the scientific experts, the medical experts, what are they saying? If I read an article, who wrote the article? Who are they from? What's their background? What's their history? What are their qualifications? If I read something and it's in a medical journal in Ireland, England, America, wherever else, if it's a medical journal, I think I can trust that.
If you write it on Facebook, it's probably unlikely that it's not true.
It's unlikely it's not true. And the other thing is somebody said, I heard somebody said, that is not good information. Because the biggest problem right now is everything is available on the internet right? But it's not all good for you. It's not all good. And that's why you get back to wisdom. We have to have wisdom. We have to take all of that information. We have to use discernment, use the word of God, use common sense that he gave us, and come up and listen to what the experts are saying. So refine, refine, refine. And oftentimes people send me emails sent to read this, read that, pass this on. I don't. I don't open it and I don't pass it on, right? Because a lot of stuff, it creates fear. And we don't want. So remember, we're pastors. We love people. We care for people, right? We want to give information to people that's going to enrich and build. We don't want to spread fear. And I would encourage our church, don't be spreading fear and disinformation, please. Yeah.
That's really good. Well, thank you so much. And I really hope that that has helped you shed some light maybe on some questions you have, doubts, confusions, or maybe even just open the door for you to begin to thinking of things from a biblical perspective. And if you have got any questions, hey, we're here. We're here to help. Our church is open for to receive people, to have chats, have conversations, and help guide you through and making wise decisions. But remember, you know, we are human beings made up physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And so I think it's just really important to be making wise decisions in every area of our life. But really hope this has helped you and encouraged you. We'll see you back next month on the first Sunday of February. Enjoy.